buying experience.
Well, I wonder what happened last night. Got a feeling that something ain't right. Gotta hear the latest news of the day. What crazy thing did our president say? There's commies to the left of me, Nazis to the right. Here I am listening to Justice and Drew. Here I am listening to Justice and Drew.
Then I look at you and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you.
Can you dig it?
And I know it's gonna be.
Can you dig it?
Yes!
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Good morning. And welcome to your Friday edition of Justice and Drew. I am Drew. And there's nobody sitting across from me.
I mean, I'm sort of in a way across a place from you.
You're to my right.
Okay. Yeah. That's fair.
To my right in the other room is the lovely, talented, and radiant and effervescent Samantha Sansevier.
Good morning.
Pushing our buttons this morning and answering your phone calls at 651-989-5855. And I want your phone calls today because it's a big day.
It's
post Mueller report morning eve, whatever. I don't know.
not eve. No. It's Mueller Day and also Good Friday.
That's right. It is Good Friday. Yeah. Happy Good Friday,
Happy
everybody.
Happy Good Friday.
John is out sick today. He was feeling a little under the weather yesterday, but he powered through.
He stayed strong.
He powered through yesterday's show, but
persevered.
But that took it out of him.
Yeah, now he's not staying strong
today. Now he's wiped out.
Yeah, which is understandable. He's got a really high temperature, up all night. I hope he feels better soon.
I'm sure he'll be back by Monday. I should have sent you this to put on the audio bar. I'm going to see if I can play it off my phone and make sense. So I was texting with John yesterday, and you know, he's running a slight fever, lying on the sofa, shivering. You know, he's not feeling well. And I yesterday afternoon, you know, I assumed he was going to wake up with his alarm and see how he felt in the morning before making a final decision. And he decided to reply via video.
What?
I will decide in the morning.
What? Sent me a very sad video of him laying down, all looking sad and pathetic and obviously not feeling well.
Okay, so when he sends a video just to kind of express how sad and pathetic and sick he is. I think it's pretty clear he's not coming in.
Oh, yeah. I knew at that point.
Yes. Yeah. Why would he do that?
When he felt I needed video, like, evidence, you know, to demonstrate just how crappy he's feeling, I was like, John's not coming in.
How did you respond?
I just sent him a little thumbs up emoji. I don't know. I didn't know how to respond. I wasn't going to send back a video. Okay.
At that point, you guys, you know, like, FaceTime is a thing. At that point, you should have just started FaceTiming. Start responding in short video clips.
So he's got the little bug, and you know, I'm sure it'll work its way through. And he's got the weekend, so I'm expecting he'll be in much better shape come Monday. We do have the roundtable coming in today. It is Max Reimer from Kip and Max Save the World, a fantastic podcast, and Representative Nick Zerwas. They're going to probably come in a little bit early because John's not here, so they'll probably make their way in during Sam's Top Five.
You don't think that I could carry the five? I never
implicated anything of the sort.
I was gonna shoot John a text. Actually, I'll shoot him a text this morning. He really should probably see a doctor. I heard that, and this is real. I'm not just like making this up to be funny. He said that he has a cough. He was kind of coughing yesterday, and whooping cough is actually going around.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
That kills babies.
Well, John's a grown man.
It might kill John.
John's a grown man. I mean, I'd act like it all the time, but he is a grown man.
But still, if it's bad enough, so he really should see a doctor.
Well, yeah, I'm sure if it doesn't clean itself sort of out of his system by tomorrow afternoon. I imagine he will.
That's fair. Yeah. I coughed a little bit yesterday. My mom was like, there's whooping cough going around. Are you okay?
Is that where you learned it from your mom?
Yes.
Okay, I'm not buying it.
No, it's for real. It's like in St. Michael mostly. We're in Buffalo. And I guess that in St. Michael schools, it's going around.
Is it?
Is what I heard on the streets with my mom. So I didn't do any further investigating.
Word on the streets.
On the farm. I didn't do any further investigating, but she normally has good sources.
Word on the tough streets of Buffalo.
the tough streets of Sam's farm.
We do have the roundtable. Max and Nick and Sam, they will be your contestants in the Friday news quiz happening at 8:35 this morning. Fabulous prizes. Available
the best of the prizes
for anybody that correctly predicts who you think is going to win. Max, Nick, or Sam, use Twitter hashtag TCNT. There will be a post up on the Twin Cities News Talk Facebook page where you can comment there.
That's right.
Or you can always email me, Andrew Lee at iHeartMedia.com, and pick who you think's going to win, predict who you think's going to win, and we'll draw from everybody who makes a correct prediction.
Perfect.
For the prize. Also, Representative Tom Emmer is going to make his regular Friday appearance. That's going to happen at 7:35 this morning. Very, very interested to get his thoughts on the Mueller report, obviously. But also, he was with the president earlier this week when the president came to the Twin Cities and did his tax cuts and jobs roundtable in Burnsville. The president flew on Air Force One with him here.
Yep, I saw the plane go over us, and I was like, hey, Tom's up there. And the president.
Tom is in that plane.
Yeah, Tom is in that plane.
So we're going to ask him what Air Force One is like.
Yeah.
That's really what I'm mainly curious about. How swanky is Air Force One?
I bet it's super swanky.
Is it the swankiest of the swanky planes?
It's got to be super swanky. And I remember while we were waiting for Trump's arrival, I think it was John mentioned, like, oh, I think the president is tweeting. That's weird. Do you think that he scheduled his tweets? And I'm like, John, like, because he was flying. So
he's on Air Force One.
Yeah, I was like, he's on Air Force One. I'm pretty sure he has Wi-Fi.
They got Wi-Fi.
Yeah, they definitely have Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when 9/11 happened. I mean, the president, President Bush at the time, ended up staying airborne in Air Force One for quite a while because he was in, I think, Florida.
I think you're right.
Doing a, you know, just at a classroom, doing a little reading.
He was doing a reading, yep.
And when everything happened, and they, you know, whisked him off and put him in Air Force One, and he ended up, if I recall correctly, he stayed airborne for a very long time and conducted, you know, obviously the business of the president.
Right.
So, on Air Force One. So, yes, I'm very confident.
Well, I remember there was one time where Tom was telling us a story about when he, one of the many, many times that he was on Air Force One with the president, and he mentioned that Fox News was on the TV. So if they can get Fox on the TV, I think he can tweet.
Yeah, I'm sure he can.
Yes.
Sam, how's the scouring going?
It's been going pretty good. We got
just
a lot lined up.
Pretty good.
Just pretty good.
All right, Sam's top five are powered by earlier.
Download it now.
Welcome back to your Friday edition of Justice and Drew. Sans justice, no justice today.
No justice.
He's a little under the weather.
Yeah.
He'll be back hopefully on Monday. Hopefully he'll be feeling better. Whenever Sam's out, which is like every other week.
That's not true.
You know,
at
with
all.
Like an illness or an injury or whatever. A bone a month.
No, it's like a bone every 6 months. Thank you very much. And it's like the only time I take off from work is when I break a bone.
Yeah, like every Tuesday.
You're really going to need some time out. Really need to chill. Might as well go break my collarbone. Yes, that is my thought process.
We always encourage listeners to send like gifts, pictures, things like that to you via Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you're not here. So we should do the same for John. We should encourage the listeners to send John
gifts of turtles. Turtles. Send John gifts.
I was thinking
turtles.
Something Star Wars related.
Or turtles.
But you could
Star Wars or turtles.
Yeah, mostly turtles.
Mostly turtles.
Yeah, let's go
or
with turtles.
If there's turtles that are Star Wars related.
I like turtles.
Yes, definitely turtles.
We should,
like turtles. Turtles, like a, I don't even know. Turtle in, no, with a lightsaber.
That's very specific.
Find a turtle with a lightsaber.
That's very specific.
I'm sure it's out there.
Send John, attack him at John Justice on Twitter, and just send him some get well gifts of turtles.
Yes,
I think that is wildly appropriate.
Who doesn't like turtles?
Everybody likes turtles.
Yeah. I like turtles.
This segment of Justice and True is powered by our friends over at Early Bird Electric. It is Sam's top five for a Friday.
Number one.
Special counsel Robert Mueller's report has been revealed to a waiting nation. It's Mueller Day, everybody.
Yesterday was hilarious. Yesterday was just great. I mean, Bob Barr, I thought, did a very good job of presenting the findings.
Yes.
Of course, the partisanship, immediately reared its head, and all the detractors and all the people that were waiting on this report and have been, breathlessly waiting on this report for the past 2 years. Yep. To finally tell them, confirm what they have believed to be the truth all of this time, that, Trump is a Russian agent and Trump committed treason and all of these predictions and all of these, these people that were out there convinced and trying to convince everybody, via the mainstream media or punditry or blogs or just via Twitter, that, this was going to end with Trump getting frog marched out in handcuffs. So, none of those people, predictably accepted Barr's findings.
No. They didn't agree with them, so they said he must be lying.
Right. So they say, we need the unredacted report.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now that's the narrative, is that we need the unredacted report. The unredacted report is going to tell us what's really in there.
Yeah, pretty much every article that you're going to find on this is pretty disgustingly biased. There's a lot of trashy headlines out there that actually don't, aren't accurate at all, or just are so clearly trying to completely spin this narrative of, but in actuality, there's really nothing here.
Obviously, we're going to spend a lot of time on this day, and there's a lot of different angles to approach it. But to that point about the way it's being covered, you've still got the caveat put in a lot of the coverage that there are redactions here, and we don't know what's behind the redactions.
Yep.
But then you've got the whole obstruction conversation. So the collusion's off the table. That did not happen.
Yes.
Absolutely no evidence, nothing to corroborate the allegations of collusion. So taking that off the table, you've got the obstruction conversation. Yep. And there is evidence, and there is, moments in this report that show that early on, Trump did not want this investigation to happen. And people are taking that and they're running with it as if to say, well, clearly he's guilty of something because he didn't want the investigation to happen. And that constitutes obstruction of justice. First of all, no, it doesn't. You can't really have obstruction of justice if there was no crime being covered up.
Right.
And there was no crime being covered up. But if you actually read the relevant sections where there's transcripts of conversations that happened and reports of conversations that happened, it was clear to me, at least, that Trump didn't want this investigation because he knew, or at least was convinced, that it would hamper his ability to get anything done.
Yep.
In his first 2 years.
Well, he's quoted in an article from Yahoo News just saying the fact that everyone tells me that if you get one of these independent counsels, it ruins your presidency. It takes years and years, and I won't be able to do anything. This is the worst thing that has ever happened to me. So
the one line that everybody was running with was the "I'm blanked." Right?
Yes.
He said, "I'm blank."
So what? Yes.
Blank starts with F.
What Drew is referring to is one particularly dramatic moment, as the Associated Press points out. Mueller reported that Trump was so agitated at the special counsel's appointment on May 17th, 2017, that he slumped back in his chair and declared, "Oh my God, this is terrible. This is the end of my presidency. I am effed."
Right. So everybody grabs that line, takes it out of the fuller context, and says, see, clearly he was covering something up. Clearly he's guilty of something.
Yeah.
Why else would he say that unless he knew this investigation would uncover something that would lead to his impeachment?
Even Yahoo, their headline for this on the front page of Yahoo and several other outlets, Mueller report quotes Trump's reaction to Russian investigation, "I'm effed."
Yeah.
And that's it. That's what they're leading with.
And that is so, there's very relevant context there that's being left out. And in every report that I saw, TV, online, never included the full context. You go read that, and it was what you said earlier.
Yes. Yeah, where he says, the president said, and I quote, everyone tells me that if you get one of these independent counsels, it ruins your presidency. It takes years and years, and I won't be able to do anything. This is the worst thing that ever happened to me. That directly followed up him saying, I'm effed. That's why he was saying
that's the full context.
Yes, but... Yeah. And that's like at the bottom of a paragraph of one article that I found. No other articles I found included that paragraph.
Yeah.
And that's so important because most people aren't going to go and read this two-volume, 448-page redacted report.
No, of course not.
People are going, I saw that headline before I like went and read more about it. I saw that headline and I was like, huh.
Yeah, same here. I mean, your instinctive reaction when you see something like that is, of course, going to be, well, why would he say that if he was innocent and he wasn't worried about anything, why would he say something like that? And then you read the full context and you go, oh, makes perfect sense now.
So the Associated Press article goes on to say that after saying, I'm effed, Trump set out to save himself. In June of that year, Mueller wrote, and this is according to the Associated Press.
He wasn't saving himself. He was saving his presidency.
You're correct. So the Associated Press goes on to say that in June of that year, that would be 2017, Mueller wrote that Trump directed White House Counsel Don McGahn to call Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, who oversaw the probe, and say that Mueller must be ousted because he had conflicts of interest. McGahn refused, deciding he would rather resign than trigger a potential crisis akin to the Saturday Night Massacre of Watergate firings fame. Dramatic.
Oh my God.
2 days later, the president made another attempt to alter the course of the investigation, meeting with former campaign manager Corey Lewandowski and dictating a message for him to relay to then Attorney General Jeff Sessions. The message was that Sessions would publicly call the investigation very unfair to the president, declare Trump did nothing wrong, and say that Mueller should limit his probe to investigating election meddling for future elections. That message was never delivered.
It was never delivered.
And that's also another important thing.
How is that obstruction of justice? The message was never delivered.
And that's the other important thing, and that's kind of just like the way that our country is set up to where like a president can't just go and be like do this, do that. Like they do have protocol and they do have things that they just don't do.
Right. And people are pointing to little comments like the one you just read, and there's several others that you can point to, and saying, well, clearly this shows an attempt to obstruct justice.
What does it matter?
If he didn't actually do any of the things that he was saying he could do or that he threatened to do, like at no point, and even in the Mueller report it says this, at no point was this investigation impeded in any way by the Trump administration or by the president himself. At no point. So how can you claim, even if you believe that there was some degree of collusion?
Yeah, even if
How can you say there was obstruction of justice? When Mueller himself says, at no point did the president try to impede this investigation. We will continue. We got so much more to get to with the Mueller report itself, the rest of Sam's Top 5, and the Friday Roundtable, Max Reimer and Nick Zerwas coming in. We will continue with Sam.
3.5 FM.
News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Welcome back. Friday edition of Justice and Drew continues on. One leg of the roundtable has arrived. Welcome, Max Reimer. Good morning.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
I'm glad you're here. Thank you for coming in. Thanks for coming in a little early, too. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I figured you guys didn't have justice here, so I would bring some justice of my own to the show early.
Representative Nick Zerwas should be joining us anytime here in the next 15, 20 minutes or so. Reminder, Tom Emmer, Representative Emmer, joining us in just about an hour, 7:35. We're expecting to hear from him, but we are in the midst of Sam's Top 5. We left off lots more to get to regarding Special Counsel Mueller's report. We will spend a bulk of the show, a majority of the show, talking about that today, but let's move on with Sam's Top 5.
Number 2.
Investigators in Paris said yesterday that they believe an electrical short circuit is the most likely cause behind the massive fire at the Notre Dame Cathedral.
No, that's what they want you to think.
Drew, you're not helping. From Fox News, the French judicial police official who did speak anonymously about this probe said investigators still don't have the go-ahead to search the rubble or work in the cathedral because of safety concerns. Although authorities consider the fire an accident, possibly as a result of restoration work at the global architectural treasure that survived almost 900 years of French history. Paris prosecutor Remy Heitz said earlier this week that the inquiry into what caused the fire would be long and complex. Some 50 investigators are actively working the case and are expected to interview workers from five companies hired for the renovations to the cathedral's roof where the flames first broke out. On Monday, the fire raged through the cathedral for more than 12 hours, ultimately destroying its spire and roof, but sparing its twin medieval bell towers. As the blaze roared, there was a frantic effort to rescue the monument's most precious treasures, including the crown of thorns, said to have been worn by Jesus. Remarkably, no one was killed in the blaze, which occurred during a mass after firefighters and church officials speedily evacuated everyone inside. A day after the inferno, the French president set an ambitious goal of rebuilding the famed cathedral even more beautifully in 5 years.
That's kind of a Trumpish way to put it, isn't it?
We're
going to have the best cathedral. We're going to build it. It's going to be even more beautiful than ever before.
Yeah.
It's going to be the best cathedral.
And we're going to do it in 5 years.
5 years.
It's marvelous. Maybe he just likes Trump. He likes his style.
The cathedral's already built. It's already being built. Most of it's done. It's great. It's wonderful. You're going to love it.
It's the greatest ever.
Trump and Macron kind of have a bromance relationship going on. It seems like every time they
notice that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like every time they get together, he's like, they're like hugging each other. Like, hey, little buddy. Just like rubbing his head. And he's got these like oogling little eyes, like he's just really enjoying it. So there might be something there.
I think Macron's into it.
Macron's into the bromance.
Yeah, I think Macron's here for it.
There are obviously a lot of conspiracy theories going around about, you know, what caused the fire.
There always is.
You know what? I'm not going to dismiss them out of hand, but I am going to say, you know, without evidence and grainy YouTube videos that could be taken from any time, anywhere, aren't evidence. But without evidence, and, you know, I'm inclined to believe that this was an accident, as they're reporting. I don't know. And it's not like France has been, you know, been complicit in covering up, you know, acts of Islamic terrorism.
Right. Which is the natural first place everybody goes. Well, it seems.
I mean, yeah. When I saw the news, when I turned it on, when it was happening, my first thought was this was done intentionally.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I think that's a very natural first thought to have. That's a natural instinct to have.
Yeah.
I don't know why they. I mean, if it was done intentionally, if it was an act of arson, if it was an act of terrorism, I don't know why they would cover it up.
Yeah, and when incidents like this happen, it is really interesting, kind of running in conservative circles, especially people who are a little bit more skeptical of the Muslim religion and terrorist attacks and that kind of thing. Instantaneously, if it's this situation, if it's that situation in Bloomington with the boy being thrown,
you get
1,001 conspiracy theories immediately.
Yep.
It's so fascinating to watch how prevalent this whole kind of fake news meme world has gotten. No one can cite their sources,
right,
but everyone is like, hey, I saw this meme in my special Facebook group. And this was a similar situation where instantaneously you saw fake imagery, you saw people were like photoshopping Muslims laughing in front of the cathedral. It's really a fascinating phenomenon to behold when stuff like this happens.
It seems like human nature for people to look for someone to blame or some group to blame
when
things like this happen. And you're right. I mean, it just catches like wildfire. Someone can just tweet something random and then all of a sudden it's got, I mean, everybody's retweeting it using that as their source.
Yes. Part and parcel, they just act like it's the truth, which, by the way, we were talking about Mueller. It's no different than that situation,
it's
too.
No different at all.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
Yeah. No. When you strongly want to believe something, it's nearly impossible to convince you that it's not true.
Yes.
You know, you can show evidence after evidence after evidence in front of them, but if you really want to believe something is true, I don't know how you convince them otherwise. And there are a lot of people out there that really want to believe this was an act of terrorism. This was done by Muslim terrorists, that this is being covered up. And then, but, you know, it's just like with any other conspiracy theory. When you start digging into it and you start asking, you know, well, why are they doing this? They don't really have anything. It all kind of falls apart.
And there were objective previous incidents, apparently, where churches around France had been harassed and
vandalized,
graffitied, and that kind of thing. Yeah. And so I can get, maybe you look into that a little bit. I did see the meme of Jesus in the fire putting it out. There was a very popular meme where Jesus was in the fire.
People saw Jesus in the fire.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. He's trying to save that crown of thorns that he has an affinity for.
Well, while Macron he hopes to have it renovated in 5 years. Since then, donations have been pouring in all over the world, and it's now surpassed the $1 billion mark.
$1 billion
have been donated to restore the cathedral.
That much?
Yeah, as of yesterday. Amazing. Yeah,
and he said that he was going to contract it out to a worldwide architecture firm.
Yeah, don't do that.
No,
don't do that. You're gonna get, it's gonna be Bodie McBoatface all over again.
Yeah, and you're gonna get stuff like, "Hey, are all 400 genders represented in the sky?"
We must make an inclusive.
Yeah, you know cathedral. It's gonna happen.
Yeah, no, a cathedral is very specific.
Yeah. Is it though? Cathedral can probably be what you want it to be right now.
Number three.
An Iron Range agency hiring complaint has prompted Walls to change some policy.
We're going to spend some time on this is a story. Later in the show.
This is a story.
Specifically when Nick Zerwas gets in. This was an amazing piece that was put together. An excellent job putting this together by an outlet called Timberjay, which I'd never heard of before this story. It's a 9-page article, an investigation that they've done, and they've put it together fantastically. Absolutely just blew away like all of your bigger sort of Twin Cities media outlets. Nobody had
the Star Tribune, whoever,
right,
got scooped on this thing by a little newspaper in, I think it's Ely.
I believe you're right.
I could be wrong, but this just little scrappy newspaper put together, and this gets to the wonderful report. Yeah, and I know, Sam, you're going to get into it, but this really gets to the fact that journalism is not necessarily dead. We just have a bunch of lazy people in journalism.
Yeah. Well, while you had people at the Star Tribune and the Pioneer Press and the Associated Press and bigger outlets all focused on like the Mueller report and stuff and like writing all their fake headlines about the Mueller report, there are outlets out there that are still doing actual journalism and actually doing their job.
And I want to point to just a little bit of bias here, right, in the way this is covered. And I believe this is a Star Tribune story that you're working off of here.
Yes.
Instead of reporting on the scandalous part of it, right, the reporting in the Star Tribune is, the complaints prompted Walls to change the policy. So it's all good. It's all fine.
It's all fine.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah.
Some people complained. You don't need to worry too much about that. But the real story is that now Walls is changing his hiring policy.
So we'll get to the real story later. But the Star Tribune article does point out, so Governor Tim Walz's administration has announced it will change state hiring policy after a former state DFL legislator was appointed to a 6-figure job at the Department of Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation without going through standard hiring procedures.
Yeah, it sounds like government has very stringent processes in Minnesota for how long, and Nick Zerwas will be able to speak to this, but Joe Radinovich, the congressman who ran, or the congressional candidate who ran against Pete Stauber in the 8th, it sounds like this job was not even posted for 24 hours before he just got the job offer.
It was created for him.
Yes.
It wasn't posted because it didn't exist.
Yeah, Joe Radinovich was hired in March by the Economic Development Agency based in Eveleth as a senior manager at a salary of $100,000. Documents show that the Department of Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation asked for and received special permission from the Minnesota Management and Budget Office to post the position for only 24 hours rather than the required 7-day minimum. In addition, an organizational chart produced 5 days before the job was posted showed Radinovich already installed in the position. Radinovich had previously worked as the department's assistant commissioner before resigning to run for Congress.
And he lost?
He lost. Yeah,
and that's why he got this job.
Yeah, he ran unsuccessfully for the 8th Congressional
District. That's what the DFL does in this. They take care of each other, man. They really do.
Yes.
Yep. You know, you run for office. If you're not successful, it's all right. It's fine.
It's You get a nice cushy gig.
We got something for you. You know, we'll put you in charge of MnDOT. We'll put you on the IRRR board. Whatever, it's fine. There's plenty of appointments we can make, and they all pay extremely well.
Tote's fine.
Yeah, tote's fine. Nothing to see here, people.
Number four.
Johnny Cash and Daisy Gatson Bates are going to replace some controversial Confederate-era statues in the Capitol. A statue of country music legend Johnny Cash has been chosen along with prominent civil rights leader Daisy Gatson Bates to represent the state of Arkansas in the National Statuary Hall of the Capitol building, taking the place of two contentious Confederate-era figures because statues are scary.
Sure hope we never find anything out about Johnny Cash.
Yeah, no way that will happen.
Oh, yeah,
I'm sure we'll never find. Yeah. I sure hope we never find out that Johnny Cash said something inappropriate.
I'm sure he hasn't.
You know,
I'm just kidding. I mean,
some interview in the 60s or 70s
where he said something a little spicy.
Yeah, he said something that was perfectly normal and fine and non-controversial then, but is now viewed, you know, through the woke lens. I love Johnny Cash, big fan, willing to put myself out there and say he probably wasn't as woke as a lot of people would have liked.
I'm guessing he wasn't talking about gender justice back in the 60s and 70s. I could be wrong.
The Ring of Fire might be about gender justice. You never know.
You really don't.
I don't know. All I know is that song was used in a hemorrhoids commercial, and I've never been able to listen to it the same again.
Oh, that's terrible.
Right?
Oh, that's terrible.
They're right?
Ring of Fire. I'll tell you what, though. I've had some bathroom experiences.
Oh, okay. Sam, continue.
But that song is very appropriate.
Sam, please continue.
Sorry.
Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson stated upon signing the bill to make the changes last week, almost everyone who was involved in the discussion agreed we needed to update the statues with representatives of our more recent history.
Yeah, we got to forget all that old history.
Yeah. You know, listen, the New York Yankees just pulled what they've been doing, God Bless America. They have a pre-recorded God Bless America because they found out the singer was racist in the 30s. Said like racist things
in the 30s.
They're like, oh, we got to pull the song we've been singing now for the past 100 years because it's racist.
The Arkansas governor went on to say there were many opinions about which historic figures best represented our state. The debate was lively and healthy.
Was it now?
In the end, Cash and Bates were declared the winners to replace the statues of Uriah Rose and James Paul Clark, which have reigned in the Capitol for over a century. Rose served as head of the American Bar Association and stood up against the secession during the Civil War, but the attorney maintained his adherence to the Confederate state of Arkansas.
How dare he?
Meanwhile, Clark was the 18th governor.
Just burn it.
I don't think you can burn. Okay, never mind.
Throw it in a vat of acid.
There you go. Meanwhile, Clark was the 18th governor of the state and later served as Senate representative, but attracted opposition last year with claims he advocated white supremacy. Cash, who died in 2003 at 71 years old, spent decades in the limelight as one of country music's greatest icons, with hits such as I Walk the Line and Folsom Prison Blues. Moreover, Bates is celebrated as a renowned activist and writer who guided 9 children that went on to integrate Little Rock Central High School in 1957. Each state is entitled to 2 statues of historical figures to be displayed in the Capitol building.
If you've never been, by the way, to the National Statuary Hall in the Capitol, it's
pretty cool.
It's awesome.
It's
really neat. The whole Capitol tour is worth doing, and that's one of the highlights of the whole tour is that room. We've talked about it a number of times. This idea that you're going to eliminate controversial figures from history, people that were important and did some good important things to elevate them to that status of being remembered and being an important historical figure, but at the same time probably had aspects of their life that don't necessarily fly in today's world. It's ridiculous.
Everyone's racist if you have a time machine. So that's the standard that they're applying. Yeah. By the way, Minnesota statues, not impressive. We have some. One of them is Rice,
Henry Mower Rice.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which Rice Street is named after?
Oh, I didn't know that. And I guess that makes sense. He was a fur trader. He was a fur trader and an American politician prominent in the statehood of Minnesota.
The state legislatures decide that stuff too. So.
Come on, people.
We should have Prince or something.
Actually, that would actually, a Why statue not? Of Prince would be pretty cool.
Why not?
Prince, just take the Mary Tyler Moore one from Nicollet and just send that.
Yeah, there you go. Money, you know? There you go. Or I'm sure we've
already got a statue already made, ready to go.
Perfect.
We'll just shoot that one over.
Perfect.
I'm sure we have some spare Calhoun statues that we're taking down all over Minneapolis that we can spare.
Man. Just a few.
We're getting canceled now. Thanks, Max.
I'm sorry.
All right, we are out of time in this segment. We still have one more item to get to in Sam's Top 5. Do expect we'll be joined by Representative Nick Zerwas as well. Your Friday roundtable continues.